And like most 2 years old, he was into everything. He went to the refrigerator dumped into the toilet. She sometimes felt like she was going crazy. But at night, you know how sweet babies are at night. Oh, you can hardly bear it. She would go into his room when he was asleep, and she would pick him up, and she would sing, just as our 10-year-old did this weekend. And sometimes she said, I'd like to sell him to the zoo. But then at night, she would go into his bedroom, and there he would be all peaceful and sweet. And she'd go over to his bed and check to make sure he was asleep. And then she'd pick him up, and she'd sing. Thank you.
Well, I'll Love You Forever may seem a strange song and strange story for a service about our spiritual journeys. After all, it's kind of fanciful. It's more than a little sentimental. And besides, isn't that I Love You stuff just for kids? But I wonder. I've loved this silly song since I first discovered it, when Phyllis and I were living in Canada 25 years ago. When the refrain comes around, it always brings tears, as you may have noticed. When it comes around again with that ladder up against the grown son's bedroom window, more tears. And when it comes around the last time for the grown man himself rocking his own baby daughter, still more tears. Now, I had a lot of love when I was growing up as a kid, but still, I grew up in the culture of a New England family who didn't find it easy to say, I love you. I suspect that may be true for more than a few people here. And I think I always longed to hear it. Or perhaps I longed to feel the freedom to say it. Or perhaps I longed for a hug. It was something the men of my family never did, and not very many of the women. 30 years ago, my brother and I took turns sitting by our father's bedside as he lay dying. He had wanted to die at home, and we knew pretty well this would be his last night. He was just a few years older then than I am now. I was just starting seminary. By that night, he could no longer speak. So I just sat there, holding his hand, and every now and then I would say, I love you, Dad. It was probably the first time in my adult life that I had said those words, at least to him. Words which I had always longed to hear, to hear from him. Even now, to speak it brings tears. Now, in my head, of course, I knew that he loved me. Every Monday, without fail, after I left home, he would write a letter to me. And I think he did the same with his father and mother while they lived, and his six brothers and sisters, and my brother, of course. He spent time with us, took us on trips, cared deeply. But he could not say those three words. And I'm pretty sure his own father, for whom I'm named, couldn't say them either. So as a father, I have tried to say them to my children and grandchildren in closing every conversation. It touches me that they have no trouble saying them to me or reaching for hugs. For me, this experience has been liberating. But what does it have to do with our spiritual journeys? You might ask, what does it have to do with our spiritual journeys? That's what we're talking about this morning. Some might say nothing. They might say that spirituality is about finding our own bliss. It's the feeling of the awe and wonder of the universe. But for me, these are but the beginning. Our spiritual journeys invite us to go so much deeper than that. They're a lot like that ladder, you know. You can't get very far up that ladder until you're able to grow beyond these almost private dimensions of our spiritual journeys into the realm of relationship, into the realm of relationship with other people, face to face and heart to heart. You can't even love yourself without the perspective that comes with looking at your life through the eyes of the holy. Of course, we don't go around saying, I love you. There are intimate relationships and there are arm's length relationships and everything in between. But in all relationships, it starts with thinking of each other in the spirit of love and respect. We are all brothers and sisters. We are one, as the song goes. Our personalities differ as our relationships do, and we can express our love in many ways. What we do with our love, how we treat each other, is at least as important as what we say. But still, Munch's ladder of love won't let me go. Neither will our opening song this morning. It has touched my heart since I first heard it many, many years ago. The music in itself is haunting, but the words even more haunting. The lone wild bird in lofty flight is still with thee, nor leaves thy sight. And I am thine, I rest in thee. Great Spirit, come and rest in me. These are words spoken to that Great Spirit, the Spirit which some call God, some call the Holy Spirit, some the Spirit of life and love. We watch the lone wild bird soaring high into the sky until it is out of sight. Perhaps we think of our own spirits soaring high too, and perhaps we imagine ourselves free to soar like the bird until we too are one with the universe. For me, both Munch's ladder of love and the image of the lone wild bird climbing into the sky speak to our human imperative to realize ever more fully our God-given capacity for love. It's a capacity which has no upper limit, nor any comparative benchmarks. We don't compete with others in our spirituality, nor with any fixed stages on the journey. We measure our progress only against our past experience and our potential, our dreams. Perhaps then our very favorite UU song, I think everybody would agree, touches the same chord in our hearts when we pray and sing, Spirit of life, come to me. Sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion. Blow in the wind, rise in the sea. Spirit of life, come to me. Move in the hand, giving life the shape of justice. And then we close with roots hold me close, wings set me free. I suspect many of us have thought those words when our children, if we are blessed with them, have left home and gone out on their own. Roots hold me close, close to home. Wings set me free to fly and to soar far from home, toward possibility, toward fulfillment, and toward you, Great Spirit, Spirit of life, the Spirit in which we become one with all that is. This roots and wings imagery offers only a distant image of the spiritual journey as through a telescope. And watching that bird soar into the sky, it too seems off on a distant journey. It's a lone wild bird. And we may imagine ourselves, too, on a far-flung and lonely journey. But we are not alone. We are never alone, and that's the paradox. Even on our journey, as we soar higher and higher, we are not alone. For, as the song goes on, the ends of earth are in thy hand, the seas dark, deep and far off land, and I am thine, I rest in thee. Great Spirit, come and rest in me. We journey in search of union with that Great Spirit, and we are in the Spirit all the time as it rests in us. We rest and yet we cannot rest. I think Sean Caulfield was right in coming to see the river as a metaphor for life. Life is lived in its flow. We cannot stand still. The way leads on. For it's in the steady flow of life over the rocks and the eddies and the still waters that we experience the full depth and breadth of our spirituality in relationship to self, to others, and to the universe. If you will, to God. In our journey inward, we may be physically alone, but we're not really alone because so much of our self-discovery comes as we reflect on our interactions with others in time past. And even more key, we're not alone because we're in intimate relationship with the Holy, with God. In our journey outward, we can't be alone because we interact with the world around us. Only in our oneness with the universe might we seem truly alone and That's deceptive too. For as we become at one with the universe, we're no longer alone. By definition, then, all of our life is relational. For it's about our relationship with the Spirit. Hence that word, spiritual. It's only when we close ourselves off to that Spirit, which is within us and yet also beyond us, that we're truly alone and very lonely. I've spoken so far of the flow of our lives, of our wings. What then of our roots? These too are paradoxical. As we're raised, we grow up rooted in a family system and often in a single place. As we mature, we test our wings, we take flight, seeking the fuller life we long for and a broader rootedness. Our home, then, is both our foundation and, at a broader level, our destination. As we journey, we grow and eventually find ourselves in a new spiritual home, one built on the foundation of the original home and yet now filled with deeper and richer meaning. And it won't surprise you as I remind you here of the words of T.S. Eliot: "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time." Know ourselves for the first time. Know each other for the first time. Know our place in the universe. But now our knowledge is no longer head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. We feel it as compassion, as love. That's the goal of our spiritual journeys, to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, as we journey toward compassion and love. It's a serious and intimate relationship, yet it doesn't have to be heavy. I don't suppose any good Unitarians read the comic strips, and I don't know that the sun any longer carries pickles. Anybody read Pickles? Pickles is about a grandfather and grandmother and their little grandson, Nelson. A recent strip a couple of months ago has Nelson going to bed and asking Grandpa whether he says his prayers at night. Grandpa says, "Oh, yes." And you know, Nelson, there are two kinds of prayers, two kinds. There's "help me" and "thank you." And Nelson says, "How about to just say hi?" Nelson was onto something. It begins with relationship. Now, let's turn a corner. The church. The church is on this corner here. And if our journeys, our spiritual journeys, are relational, how does a church as a relational community have a place in all this? The church, too, presents a paradox. It's in the nature of our welcome that we come as we are. You don't have to be a saint. And it doesn't take most people long to realize that this isn't a congregation of saints. A few people discover that, they're disillusioned, and they leave in disillusionment. I try to warn new people when they come to a church, you know, we're not any more perfect than you are. We're not saints, but we try. That covenant we read, that is our aspiration. In a larger sense, the church itself is the teacher and the preacher, which is to say that we teach and preach to each other, not as an institution, but as a community. A wise person has said that we don't come together in the church as members of an institution. We come as members of each other. As such, we come together to practice with each other our commitment to growing in the ways of compassion and love and justice. We might indeed, as some of you have heard me say before, think of ourselves as a school for living. The church is where we practice our love and stretch our vision of what it means to love. We began this morning talking about prophets. prophets lift up before us a vision of what the world could be like. And without a vision, we'll never get there. So I don't think of Robert Munsch's delightful story as an image to be taken literally, though sometimes we misbehave in ways that might remind us of the kids in this story. Nobody would know anything about that here, though. But metaphorically, can we not imagine ourselves as we go through life climbing ever higher on Munsch's ladder? Family love may be where we first learn the fullness of human love, and we know that it's hard. Sometimes the hardest people to love are the ones we say we love most. And loving each other in the church is at least as difficult. That's why we need the church. As a family member and as a pastor, I've seen my share of conflict. And as a good officer charged with counseling colleagues, I've seen how very hard it can be to keep in touch with the spirit of love in our churches, whether we are lay folk or even, God help us, as clergy. In the heat of our differences, it's all too easy to lose touch with the spirit of love, to mess up. I know that in our experience in this place, for quite a while, folks here in this church have pretty consistently tried to make love the spirit of this church. I'm confident that that's at least as true today, and perhaps more so. We try hard to live and grow in the spirit of love, and I hope those of you who are relatively new felt that as you came through these doors, and certainly as you stayed for a while. At our best, we are a place where we accept each other as we are, yet feel challenged to grow, to become more perhaps than we have ever imagined that we could be. We try to be a place where we invite each other to discover the gifts that we may not even have discovered that we have, and where we affirm and nurture each other's gifts. We want to be a place that invites us into daily relationship with the spirit of life, with the God of love, with the holy, by whatever name we know it, and a place that holds each one of us in that love and invites us to live into it as each week we try to stretch our vision of what love asks of us and try to live into that constantly growing vision. That's who we want to be as a church. No matter our disagreements, no matter our differences, that's how we want to live. That's what we want for our children. That's at the core of our message for the world around us. If that's how we try to live, I think our journey together will be filled with joy and with meaning, and our lives will be transformed. May we keep on growing, today and always. May it be so. Amen. Spirit of life and love, gracious God, as we join in a spirit of meditation and prayer, we draw from the words of our colleague Kathleen McTeague, who writes that we come together to remind one another to rest for a moment on the forming edge of our lives, to resist the headlong tumble into the next moment, until we claim for ourselves awareness and gratitude, taking time to look into each other's faces and see their communion, the reflection of our own eyes. May we pause now in the silence of this hour as we feel your presence and your love. May we join our voices in that familiar and favorite song, Spirit of Life.